Time now for the Vaccination Hesitation Conversation Series, a series to deal with community concerns about taking the COVID-19 vaccination. If you have decided not to get the vaccination and you want to share your concerns, email them to todaywithdrk@gmail.com. WEAA, absolutely the voice of the community.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. This week for our Vaccination Hesitation Conversation Series, most of our listeners submitted anonymous questions in advance to my award-winning producer, Justina Pollard. Now, you still have time to get your questions in for our next doctor. Get them in as soon as possible to justina.pollard, P-O-L-L-A-R-D, at yahoo.com. Today, we're joined by Dr. Ken Redcross to answer your vaccination hesitation questions. Dr. Redcross is a board-certified internal medicine physician, and in 2001, he earned his medical degree at Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center in New York, and he has worked at the nation's top hospitals, including Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Beverly Hills, California. He is here today to answer some of these questions. I mean, we're excited to have someone who in April of 2020 was featured as one of the top 25 doctors in concierge medicine. He's also the author of Bond, the Four Cornerstones of a Lasting and Caring Relationship with Your Doctor, and is based in New York. Dr. Redcross, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me on, Dr. K. I am super excited, especially about this particular topic, so thanks.
Now, I mentioned before we came on the air, I said, if you have to save lives, go ahead and jump off and let me know. But then you counter by saying what we're doing right now is saving lives. Can you talk about that as we get started with this conversation?
And I really meant that when I said that, Dr. K, because look, what we're doing right here as we're talking and everyone's listening, we're doing God's work right here, right? We're trying to make sure that we are uplifting ourselves and uplifting our health. So I'll be here as long as you need me to make sure I answer everyone's questions today. But this is important stuff, everyone. So let's feel it and let's really think it through as you get some of these questions answered.
I think what is most concerning to me is when I think about vaccination hesitation, I have two things happening at the same time. One, I look at the reality of the fact that we are dealing with a lot of medical racism, medical oppression, medical hostility, medical uncertainty based upon very real incidences. Truly. We're also watching as Black communities have less access to the vaccine than our white counterparts. So is it Black COVID racism or is it Black vaccination hesitation that we're dealing with?
You know, to be quite honest, it's a little bit of both. And I'll add a third to that as well, Dr. K, are these disinformation campaigns that are going out to a lot of my patients who are sending me these horrible videos and emails that are just plainly not true. So it's three things that are actually going on, all of them horribly intertwined, that's keeping us from staying healthy and staying well.
So when we kind of unpack that, because I want to get to the Black vaccination hesitation in just a moment. And then I want to talk about the medical racism, because what we're finding with COVID-19, I find that it's my worst fears are being realized. Here is a virus that people said leveled the playing field, that people said was no respect of persons, except in the Black community, we're dying at a disproportionately higher rate. We catch it more. We die from it more.
That's right.
Break that down for us.
Well, I'll tell you. So when you're talking about that, so we're more than 3 to 4 times likely to be hospitalized and 3 times likely to die from the coronavirus. That's why this is an important topic. Let's look at the disease states that are really affected by the coronavirus: lung disease, heart disease, diabetes, and obesity. All of these are things that we all deal with in our community. So it's even more important that we understand what the coronavirus is preying on to really understand why discussion of vaccination needs to take place because of how it's impacting us proportionally or in proportion, I should say.
Now, we had Dr. Fauci on our show in December, and we were excited to have an opportunity with him to sit down and talk for the first time specifically about COVID-19 and the Black community. Yeah. Now, Dr. Fauci, for a lot of people, is very well trusted. But for people in the Black community, what they saw is a white face telling them, take this vaccine, it'll be good for you. You know, just kind of close your eyes and take the medicine.
Right, right.
And well, people are, go ahead, I'm gonna have you answer that and why that uncertainty.
So look, I'll tell everyone this, as I've been on the road talking, or at least by the Zoom road, Been talking a lot about this particular message about vaccination and how it's affecting us so poorly. I will tell you, the messenger is important. The good thing is with Dr. Fauci, we agree on really everything. He even talked a little bit about vitamin D, which I'll touch on later because vitamin D is important and all of you out there need to know your levels, but we'll talk about that in a bit. But the important thing is the messenger is important. And the reason why we're discussing today is so we can educate. You have to educate in order to make an informed decision. And that's what I hope that everyone really leaves with today. And when the other docs come on behind me, Dr. K, is that they understand, let's educate ourselves and make a wise decision and make sure that we have all of the true data in front of us.
I want to put this out here for our listeners. We know we're also posting this online so people will be able to see it. But for our listeners, Dr. Redcross is an African-American man. And I think that is important that in kicking off this series, we wanted to have a doctor who looks like a lot of our listeners who have this hesitation, that you're thinking about your parents or your brother or your sister or your children who this is being impacted by. So can you talk with us? First, let's talk about the generation, the boomers. You know, our parents who we're mostly concerned with, some who can't get to the vaccine, some who may have taken one, some who remember vividly Tuskegee or who think about it a lack. So can you talk about how boomers can start to feel comfortable with taking this vaccination and why it's so important for that generation?
So this is incredibly important because you're right. The boomers really knew this. I mean, at the beginning of when we found out more about the Tuskegee experiment, I was born at that point. So I've learned it throughout the years, but you've seen it's been just carried on through our whole culture. And it's really something that's really impacting us. So when we talk with the boomers about what's the importance of this particular vaccination, because don't forget, a lot of the boomers still have their parents too, some of them. And so this is not about the person in that mirror that we have every day. This is about those around us, other brown folks, whether it be our friends or our family. So this is about thinking about not wanting to give it to grandma or not wanting to necessarily pass it to a child. So we have to be very kind of altruistic as we think about the best way that we can really impact this coronavirus by getting another lens, I should say, a lens through my lens that looks just like yours as to this vaccination and why it's so important that we really give it a chance.
Now come to the next generation. I'm coming down from the boomers. We know that before the boomers, some people in the boomers still have their what they call the great grandparents.
There you go.
Or an Xers. I'm coming to the Xers now. I'm coming to the fact that this new research came up that where they're saying we're losing a generation of Black mothers and fathers, you know, the 40 to 50 year olds who are being targeted, who previously felt that, okay, as long as I'm in shape, you know, as long as I'm kind of practicing the basic things, I'm fine. But losing a generation of Black mothers and fathers from 40 to 50 is greatly concerning.
No, and it really is, everyone. And I'm glad that you've touched on that because, you know, as I have my patients who call me all around the U.S., because luckily as a concierge physician, I can touch people at a lot of different locations. But the point is, that's the generation that's really been calling me and also asking me for other alternatives. Now, we've talked about the importance of the vaccine, and that's why I mentioned earlier with Dr. Fauci, we know that our vitamin D level, we have the lowest vitamin D level. African-Americans, when you look at those disease states that I mentioned, they're all associated with vitamin D deficiency. So we're not talking about vitamin D for treatment or necessarily prevention, but you need to have your immune system robust. So that's how I start the discussion. Then I say, okay, we've talked about the vitamin D. You go to your doctor, or there's a website, powerofd.org. If you want to order your own kit, that's great. But now let's talk vaccine. So that's the base for your immune system. Now, because everyone tends to like the alternative ways of healing. But what are we going to do now as we talk about this vaccination? There's a couple of options here. Let's talk about potential side effects. Let's talk about why I think it's good for you and your family, your specific case, not this blanket sort of statement about, it's no big deal, just get the vaccine. Well, it's a big deal to our community. And that's why it's important to have this sort of dialogue back and forth and that education piece to it also.
I want to drill down a bit on vitamin D, because I know one of the things that I've heard from my own doctor is that Black women deal with very low vitamin D levels. That there was a case where my doctor told me 2 years ago, you got to get on vitamin D because your numbers are low. So I know I don't spend a lot of time talking about alternative treatment or plans, but I do want to talk about vitamins with you as an expert here. So I'm trying to do the right thing, right? I fall in that age group with the losing Black mothers and fathers. So I am taking my vitamin D, vitamin C, echinacea, iron, zinc, airborne, and a multivitamin. And then, of course, trying to work out, get out in the sun. Yep. But I'm still looking to take the vaccine. Is that enough? I'm trying to cover all the bases here.
Well, I'll say, everyone, look, making sure that you have a good kind of supplement regimen, which is where I think vitamin D should really nestle in more than anything, especially in our community, because we are the lowest, and African-American women in particular. Good point that you mentioned that. There was a great study done in Canada that showed the benefits not only for vitamin D on your immune system, but for your mood, a sense of well-being. Who doesn't want that sense right now when we're dealing with this, right? And so you definitely have to make sure you bring in exercise, which gives you those good endorphins that also make you feel better. And sleep. Sleep is medicine. And you need to think about that as well to make sure that we're really balanced as we're dealing not only with the coronavirus, but don't forget, everyone, influenza is still circulating also, the flu. So we need to think about all these things and how they marry well together. But, you know, vitamin D has been getting this big push out there in the community because we're starting to recognize that's something we can do. It's inexpensive. It's easy. It does so many things for us. Why wouldn't you take it? And so that's why it's important to make sure if you're on this vaccine fence, you shouldn't be on the fence about vitamin D. And then I hope to get you over that fence as we talk today about the vaccine.
Okay, well, then let's talk about it. So I want to begin by some of the confusion. My parents are both in their mid-70s. My father has a number of the underlying conditions. And I put that on the table not for personal treatment for me, but because I know I'm speaking as the voice of a number of Black people where you have parents who are dealing with obesity and who are dealing with, you know, high blood pressure and all of these other things that we can add. And prostate cancer is another one with Black men.
Right.
My father's
right.
a survivor of. They've taken the first vaccine, but my mother's like, I just don't know the difference. Should I have asked for Moderna? What about Pfizer?
Oh,
she said, there's another
question.
One, AstraZeneca. She said, what about Johnson & Johnson?
Wow.
Waited for that one. So can you talk about first just the different vaccines? Because that can be confusing for
Dr. K, thank you so much. That is, it's exciting to talk like this about it if you can't feel it. It should be palpable because those are the questions I get each and every day. So let me tell you, everyone, we have two vaccines that are out right now here in the U.S., the Moderna and the Pfizer. They have the same technology, but it's a pretty innovative technology. And I'll tell everyone, it's not brand new. So don't think like, hey, this thing came up in October, doc. I'm not putting this up in my arm. Well, it's not just October. It was a vaccine that was tried with other things. It was tried with hepatitis C. It was tried with Zika, tried with Ebola. It just didn't work. And so this technology or this particular technology worked for the coronavirus. So I talked to my patients about maybe looking at it as a blessing, Dr. K, potentially as well. And then you mentioned the AstraZeneca. Studies are so-so as far as how kind of efficacious or effective it is against this newer strain that we're seeing. And stay tuned. There's going to be a Johnson & Johnson one coming out in a few weeks as well, which is a one and done. But once again, the efficacy tends to be the highest with the two that we have, the Moderna and the Pfizer. And to your question specifically, the Moderna and the Pfizer, neck and neck, everyone. Wherever you are, wherever you can get it, you're going to be safe. They're way, both of them, up into the mid-90s as far as the benefit. So you'll be okay there and you'll still be protected.
Okay, so let me bring you some of the other questions we have on the table.
Sure.
So person A, she said, well, I have allergies, so I think I should wait. Now, I asked her, does she have any allergies to any of the products of Moderna Pfizer? I said, well, let's go through that. She doesn't know. She just has allergies. And they heard about a woman who had allergies in Canada or the UK.
Yep.
Can you talk about people who are struggling with whether seasonal allergies or peanut allergies?
Well, look, everyone. So the ones that are having the peanut allergies in particular, Dr. K, and those sort of things, it's important. Most of the time they have an allergist involved. And you want to have that discussion with your allergist because the people who had the toughest time with this particular vaccine that we're seeing right now are those who already had a history of anaphylactic reaction or something that's a big issue as far as the allergies. Seasonal allergies are a little bit different. We're talking about things that are actually creating an immune response. But if you're one of those people who sees an allergist and you get allergy shots and that sort of thing, by all means, have a discussion with your doctor. And you recognize that if your doctor and you feel that it is appropriate for your case, you're going to hang around about 20 and 30 minutes after just to make sure that you don't have a reaction of some sort.
Okay, so I'm pregnant. or I'm breastfeeding. Where do I fit? I mean, I'd like to be around to raise my child. So what should I do?
Well, look, guys, as you can imagine, because we're just kind of getting into the trials, 25 million people have received the vaccine so far. Yes, but the studies haven't been done specifically for pregnant women or women that are lactating either or breastfeeding. Now, the important thing is this. We did know that when women were pregnant and got the coronavirus, they had tougher outcomes. They had more challenging outcomes. So there's been no data to show that it's necessarily unsafe, okay? But and both of the companies feel that it probably is. But once again, we need some more studies along them. But when you're looking at it, let's not forget that you're not getting the coronavirus. So it's not a live virus, which is the reason why both of those companies seem to feel comfortable with saying that they can be administered to pregnant women. But once again, that's another discussion to have with your doc and your situation and where you are in the United States. Are you in an area where it's just teeming with coronavirus? That's another discussion that needs to be had with your doctor too.
So I'm a smoker. I mean, I'm knocking off, I don't know, 2-3 packs a day, if that's what people, I'm not a smoker.
Say it ain't so. Say it ain't so.
And I'm a smoker. I'm pulling my mask off smoking.
Lordy.
So should that person, the smoker, I mean, yes, where they fall in line, because people are saying, well, maybe because I'm already, you know, affecting my system, maybe I'm not a good candidate.
No, you are the candidate, okay? Because remember I mentioned before, respiratory diseases, that's that category. And you smoke, unfortunately, COPD is a potential problem. And so when that immune system is affected, you want to make sure that you are protected. Anybody out there that's immunocompromised, okay, rheumatoid arthritis, I had a patient just last night that called me rheumatoid arthritis and had a question about what she should do. So once again, we want to make sure that we're protecting you. The big thing, and you look at the vaccine numbers, you know, I already told you 25 million people were vaccinated. That's only 7% of the population. But Dr. K, when you look at the numbers, 5% of them are African-American, 5%. You look at Caucasian Americans, 60%. So obviously, look, we have some challenges of why that is in our community, but I want to be here today to say, you know, let's turn that thinking around, all right? Let's get these numbers up because I want us here. I want us around for years to come, but let's not let it be because there's wrong information or not, you know, honest information, put it that way.
Okay, so there's another group of people, right? And so all I'm doing is I'm speaking for, you know, Rashida Q Public within the Black community, right?
So it. I know Rashida.
I'm speaking for Rashida. So look, I don't trust the doctors, and you're telling me there's going to be herd immunity. Why can't I just wait it out? Like, we just stay in my house, wait out the herd immunity, and when all of y'all have been vaccinated, I can come on out and I'll be fine.
Yeah, everyone, let me tell you, herd immunity sounds beautiful, but guys, it ain't pretty. Okay, with herd immunity, unfortunately, it isn't like lives just are saved and that's it. No, with herd immunity, there's a ramp up, and along that ramp up, under that curve, unfortunately, there's still deaths. There's still things that are going on and taking place. And herd immunity, at the beginning of this thing, I remember it being 70% needed to have the vaccine. Well, because a lot of folks aren't wearing masks and are acting not mask-like, now it's about 90, I know I'm making that up, or about 90% of people need to be vaccinated now. So herd immunity isn't here yet. Remember, I just told you, we're only at 7% vaccination right now. So we have some time left. So Rashida, don't do that, please.
Do that. Well, I'm being selfish because I like my kids. I mean, I get along with them and I want them here.
Yeah.
But they're under 18. So what do I do? Do I keep them home? Do I send them to school? Because who's going to get the vaccine tested on them, on their children?
Right.
So we can get these trial studies done, because I don't want to volunteer my sons.
Yeah, well, one of the things we found out, everyone, is thank God, yet another blessing. This isn't a particular disease that is really rampant within children, right? In fact, the flu was worse the past couple of years for children than it had been in years. So right now, once again, it's a community question. Look, I have twins at home. Mine just went back last week, everyone. You know why? Because I looked at the numbers in my area. The numbers were okay. They were getting better. Number two, I also figured that my children needed some socialization, and I wanted to make sure that the level of instruction was where it needed to be. And they're already on their vitamin D as well, and they're wearing their mask, and they're doing everything that's required. But once again, look at how long it took me to actually get to that point, and it's only 2 days a week still. So once again, it depends on your community, kind of your bubble of people who are around, and making sure you're associating with people who have your mind state on how important this virus really is.
I want to bring another question to the table. Okay, so we've talked about the schools, we've talked about our parents. I want to talk about that next age group, not the under 18, but my college students. I'm sitting here on a college campus in my office right now, and we're back up and rolling, even though we're only in person once a week. I got my kid down at school. He's in college as a sophomore. And so, which I'm actually making a note to send him some vitamin D, A, S,
D. There you go.
But what about that generation? I mean, they feel like, you know, they're going to live forever, 21 to 24, 25. They're also the ones spreading it a lot because of all the other things they're doing.
And look, guys, and that's a really, really, really tough population, right? Because these are what I call my invincibles. I have a good number of invincibles in my practice. And one of the things I talk about is, you know, what about your mom and dad? What about your grandparents? There's so many households now that kind of have a lot of people amongst each other, especially because we're all sheltering in place. But I get it from the college experience. I get it. In fact, look, I pledged when I was in college. I lived in my frat house and all of that stuff, too. So I get how that doesn't affect me. I'm just here to have a good time. But right now, we're having to grow up quickly. And that's what's happening with a lot of my invincibles, is that when we have that discussion and say, yeah, you know, you can still have fun, not as much right now, but you will be able to in some months. So just kind of hang in there and recognize it's not about you. It's about mom and dad.
Should they get the vaccine? I mean, they're over 18. Mm-hmm. They're still kind of in that invincible category. But should we be pushing 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds to get in line for this vaccine?
I'll tell you, when the time comes, they're going to be towards the back of the line for a good reason, right? To making sure we're getting those who are at risk the most. They're not the at-risk group that we've talked about with those three or four disease states, or those who are dealing with essential workers or who are on the front line like myself when I'm making house calls into patients with new COVID diagnoses. We're the ones that are getting it. By the time it trickles down to that generation, Dr. K, and they need it, we should probably be way out into the summer, which means that's actually good news when we get to that point when they're being considered for vaccination.
And my last question for you, I don't know if you're able to share, but have you been vaccinated? And if so, what was the impact for you?
I'm glad you asked that, actually. I just got my second. I know, I'm glad this time instead of last week. So I just got my second one, everyone, this past 3 days ago. I just got my second one. You'll see that I'm here, I'm breathing, I'm alive, I'm happy, and I feel blessed. That should I see this particular virus, I'm going to be ready. And I want you guys to feel the exact same way. Look, I get the skepticism, but instead of the skepticism, Dr. K, with everyone who sent me videos and they sent me all this on the negative side, why don't you ask yourself, if you feel like there's this big thing or conspiracy necessarily, why don't you do it on the flip side? Maybe say, well, maybe they don't want me to be healthy. So you know what? I'm going to show them and I'm going to get my vaccination. I'm going to be healthy. And that's what I want us to start thinking about, guys. We got to flip this narrative around. We all want to go back to regular life again. And I want as many lives in the world, but especially brown lives in this world as well. And we can do that, and we may have an opportunity here. And I feel we do have an opportunity here. So honestly, everyone, I feel great. The only thing I had when I had my vaccination is that I had a little bit of tenderness at the site. I got that with the tetanus as well, but I feel great. And once again, I feel really blessed. Just my soul just feels like, you know, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to really change things around for myself and my family, and more importantly, my community, all of you guys out there listening right now and watching.
I appreciate you. Dr. Ken Red Cross is a board certified internal medicine physician. In April of 2020, he was featured as a top doctor in concierge medicine. He is the author of Bond, the Four Cornerstones of a Lasting and Caring Relationship with Your Doctor. He's based in New York, and he is kicking off our vaccination hesitation conversation series. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Ken.
Oh, thank you for having me on. Take care, everyone. And please, please stay well.
Stay well.
If you have decided not to get the vaccination and you want to share your concerns, email them to todaywithdrk@gmail.com. WEAA, absolutely the voice of the community.